Triple M's ruined dits for breakfast. From Adelaide to around the world, the top three things you need to know.
L-I-S-T-N-R, that's how Koshy spells, is it?
Oh. Listener.
Come on. Dits, get back. Sorry. If you keep going,
stay out
it'll
of his
get
business.
Back.
Sorry.
It'll get back. He's the president of the club.
Yeah, sorry.
It's easy.
Come on, Koshy, I love
easy.
You.
Easy.
That's right.
Yeah. Tell us about the new SASS.
Yeah. Now, big show.
SASS.
New show.
Come on, Koshy.
Word economy.
SAS.
Why use all the letters if you don't have to? Yeah. Anyway, very popular show.
Coffee, please.
On Channel 7 last year. And they've announced the new cast route. This is going to be really interesting. This year, I reckon they seem to have some, could I say, fitter people.
Oh, yes.
There's a few athletes involved. Do you want to go through the list for us?
Well, they could start with AFL footballer Heath Shaw, who's sort of...
Heater?
Heater. He's finished up. They got Kobe Abbotton. Now, he's a bra boy, a big wave surfer. They made a movie about the bra boys. They run the Sydney beaches. Is it Maroubra?
Yeah,
I think
Maroubra,
it is.
Yep.
So he's got a bit of a following. He's a good get. Sam Burgess is a massive rugby league unit, and he
controversial.
Is fit. Been in a bit of trouble for stuff with his wife and his father-in-law and a bit of drug driving. Bryn Edelston.
Speaking of fit athletes, yeah.
Yeah, she's had a bit of publicity over the years at the Brownlow and going out with Jeffrey.
Yeah. Jet Kenny. Now, he's the son of. So we're talking Grant Kenny, Lisa Curry Kenny.
Oh, he should be pretty fit.
He is. He's an Ironman in his own right. So Yana Pittman, gold medalist, 400-meter hurdler. So she'll be fit.
Is she a gold medal whinger?
Gold medal whinger. So she'll annoy a few people. I'll tell you, someone that we love, though, Alicia Molik, our very own.
Good on you, Alicia.
She'll be in there.
Another tennis player, Mark Philippoussis.
The Pooh.
The Pooh. We got Pete Murray, the singer, so he'll be able to keep him entertained. Manu, he'll be able to cook up a storm.
He can cook at night. Yeah.
He's the reality TV.
The food should be good. They can sit around the campfire and sing along as well, because Pete Murray's going to be there.
Beautiful.
He can bring his guitar along.
Yes.
Kerry Potthast, another gold medalist.
Good crew.
Beach volleyball. So, yeah.
See, Ditch, you do love reality TV. Ever listen to
you? I'm right
in
it.
Oh,
yeah.
You
for
might
sure.
even watch that.
So. Now, speaking of TV and celebs and all these sorts of things, did you see yesterday the Mad Max movie got announced in New South Wales?
They won the rights for it, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they did. And probably rightly so, because, you know, previously they filmed these out of Broken Hill, Tex
yep.
Walker country.
Yeah, we'll ask Tex about it later on.
So there's a town called Silverton. Have you been out there?
I've been to Broken Hill, but I haven't been out to Silverton.
Well, do yourself a favour. The pub is one of the best I've ever been into.
Yeah, what's it?
It's a real outback
out
pub.
There?
Well, there's not much out there. It's just red dirt.
Yeah, that's Broken Hill.
There's a funny story or an interesting story. I went there years ago when I was working for Channel 7 and we filmed a story. There's a Mad Max museum because Mad Max was filmed out.
At the pub?
No, and also out on the highways out there and in the red dirt.
Right.
So, and in fact, whilst I was there, they were making, I don't know which Mad Max it was, but anyway, you could see out in the distance.
Was Kundalini out there?
Huge. Who?
No, nah, he's a bloke out of a Mad Max. Oh, don't worry.
Sorry. I don't know him a Mad Max movie. But anyway, massive, what could you call it, makeshift studio or anything built out in the dirt.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Really interesting. However, how's this for a story? There's a bloke, and a lot of people listening would have been there. There's a museum.
Are you telling this story a little bit later on?
I thought I was telling it now. Clearly I'm not. Am I telling it later?
See the top of 7 o'clock there.
All right. Let's do it then. I did listen. I did listen in the morning meeting. Anyway, Mad Max, $350 million it'll inject into the
Sydney,
New South Wales
Western
economy.
Sydney.
Yeah.
So we missed out on it, did we? We've got Mortal Kombat, though. We've had that.
We have.
We've got
Mortal. Now, what about the crime of the century that happened here in Adelaide?
This is dumb criminals all over. Someone who stole Big Bird from the circus, wasn't it, Ditz?
Yeah.
What would you do with Big Bird?
Wow. It's a good question.
Now, you said before you had a bit of a guess of someone who might have stolen it.
It's very...
He's not going to be small, is he?
It's very competitive in the world of fluffy animals. They got egos. Police.
What?
Police are interviewing Humphrey right now.
Oh, you reckon, what,
yeah,
a bit of jealousy?
They suspect that he sort of said, don't come into my town, Big Bird. Hey, this is my turf.
You wouldn't have got much out of Humphrey, though, if you... would you? You wouldn't
no,
have said
very
anything.
Quiet. No comment.
No, but we're going to talk about Big Bird a little bit later on. I think there's some dumb criminal activity going on because I'm just not sure what you could do with the Big Bird costume, Dits.
Here's the director of the Sesame Street stage show, Keith Brown.
There's been a problem overnight and Big Bird's gone missing. They've actually cut the chains and the locks and that to actually remove him from the site. The costume is made by many ostrich feathers. There was quite a few feathers on the ground going down towards Port Road. These are the original costumes and everything for the live touring show. They're all made in New York. They've all come direct from New York. You're looking about $160,000 Australian dollars.
Keith, Big Bird cut the chains. He's had enough of being in captivity.
Enough. He is, fair enough.
He's like the pandas. Release he said, I will not be treated like this anymore, the Chinese bears.
Get him out on the road, Dits.
I think actually, and our opposition leader, Peter Malinauskas, has weighed in on this too.
Whoever is responsible for this should feel the full force of the law. I don't want any parliamentary inquiries. I just want the police to be able to get on with the business.
Yeah. The important things that Peter Malinauskas has to deal with in his daily life.
Yep.
Triple M.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. Distinctive homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house. Your home.
Let's talk about
Tex.
He's kicking goals. He's taking hangers as well, Ru. Let's get him on. Tex, good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are you? I feel like I don't know who you are anymore.
What do you mean?
Oh, 2 weeks off.
I spoke to you for a couple of weeks.
Have you missed me?
What about when you go away for about 6 months at the end of the season?
Yeah, well, you boys would miss me then, I reckon.
We do. How's your calf, you old man?
Nah, it's good. It's pulled up pretty well, so a little bit sore, but pulled up a little bit better than I thought. So,
what's wrong with it? Because you were in doubt going into the game, and then there was footage of you getting it strapped at halftime. Is it just tight or what?
Yeah, a little bit of tightness. So I had it during the week and did as much as I had to for training, and then got through the game, which was nice, and we'll see how it pulls up this week for this week coming.
Tex, I'll be honest with you, you're the talk of the town. Everywhere I go, people are saying, what is it about Tex? Is it the new rules? Is he fitter? What is it? I think it's been a bit disrespectful, people saying it's all about the new rules, because I can point to things you've done this year that's got nothing to do with the rules. For example, the 4 tackles against Sydney where you caught them holding the ball and kicked, you know, converted them into goals. So to me, Tex, it just looks as though you're super fit for the first time in many years. Would that be right?
I think it certainly plays a role in my form as being able to be healthy and fit this year. But I've said it for 5 weeks now, I'm the product of what we've been able to do up the field. And certainly my game individually, I've been able to access my goals differently, not all from marks and getting some holding the balls, which has been nice. So, yeah, it's been nice to hit a little bit of form.
Yeah, but I thought you took some good contested marks against the Gold Coast Suns, and then again on the weekend you took that absolute hanger. Let's have a listen to this.
Drives to Milwaukee! Easy hang for the big man. Did he launch? Forward pocket, it was just tailor-made for Taylor Walker. And did he rip down a peach?
So you do appear to be moving pretty well.
Was that Biggles?
Yeah, it was Biggles. Biggles, yeah. Biggles. A bit of poetry from there. Biggles.
Tailor made for Taylor Walker. Quite simple. Those ruckmen are quite simple, aren't they?
Well, they are. They are. What's the vibe around the rooms at the moment, Tex, compared to this time last year?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty good. Obviously, winning certainly helps, but I just love the thirst that the kids have got to come in every day and want to get better and want to learn. So that certainly is very infectious for older guys like myself and Lynchy and Sloaney and D-Mac. So, yeah, those boys are running the club and we're just jumping in behind them.
We've seen Lachie Scholl being a rising star and Schomburg and Berry and Butts have been going well and Hamill and McPherson. Is there someone there, maybe none of those players, another player that you reckon's not far away from sort of getting an opportunity or even if he's had an opportunity from going to another level for the fans out there listening at the moment?
Yeah, obviously, Himmelberg's going well in the sample. Pedler come back a couple of weeks ago. Tariq Newchurch is playing some really good footy. Matty Wright, wouldn't you love to have him on the list at the moment? But, yeah, there's a few boys that are certainly playing some good footy down at the SANFL and pushing their spots for... And Josh Worrell as well, he's playing some good footy. So, yeah, some guys that are putting their names on the board at selection.
Yeah, big Tex is on the line. I mentioned a moment ago about Darcy Fogarty, Tex. How did you see him on the weekend? Where do you see him playing over the next few weeks?
Yeah, I love the aggression that Fog played with on the weekend. In terms of touches, obviously he's not having too many touches, but I think when he gets the ball, he's certainly punishing the opposition. So if we can get the ball in Fog's hands a lot more, it's certainly going to be helpful for our footy club. So he's had a couple of weeks in the midfield resting forward. So I'd imagine that'll continue for a period of time, and he's just learning his craft. So the more he can learn, the better he's going to be.
That was a winnable game against Freo, and they just were a bit too good in the last quarter. Mundy and Fife, especially around the ball, and Brayshaw did some good work. What was the review into the game? How disappointed with Nixie, and what did he put it down to?
Oh, yeah, that obviously we thought we were right in the contest at three-quarter time, but their class was too good in the last quarter. And the thing that we spoke about after the game was our fundamentals, our skills and our ability to just execute going forward. So that was a couple of areas that we thought let ourselves down and in the end hurt us winning the game.
Mad Max was filmed in Broken Hill. They're heading back there to do another one. Any word on the street up there? Any inside gossip from any locals up
Tex
there?
Tex could be an extra.
Your mum could be.
Your mum might cut Chris Emsworth here.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she did say she's certainly free and available if he needed accommodation.
Mum.
Yeah, she got a bit excited. So it'll be interesting to see whether Mum gets to cut his hair or colour his hair or put makeup on.
I was saying earlier, Tex, out at Silverton there, it's an amazing place, isn't it? Brilliant pub and that Mad Max Museum. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's a great part of Broken Hill. Very a lot of history for Broken Hill. And Mundy, if you ever go to Broken Hill and you want to go for a nice afternoon dinner, go out there and watch the sunset.
Where's this?
Absolutely. Mundy, it's right near Silverton.
Mundy
Plains, yeah, it's amazing.
Right. Okay, I'll check it out.
What if it's Tuesday?
Yeah, well, you can't do it on Tuesday or Friday. Right. You don't have to do it on Mundy.
All right. So good they named it twice.
Exactly right.
Yeah, now, little Hugo, he was down at the footy club yesterday. What did he get up to while you were training?
Well, he left out a present in his nappy.
Oh, beautiful.
But he was running around, and here he comes now. You can hear him.
Yeah,
he talks a little bit better than me at the moment. But the other day, I went out the back, and I was busting for a number one and number away, and did it in the back corner. And within 20 seconds, he thought, "Oh, he'll come and pull his pants down, do the same thing as Dad." So
is that why he's pooping
his pants? So you're teaching him well.
He's a little sponge at the moment.
And I see he's onto the cameras already. He was waving at the cameras last night on the news.
Yeah, I told him there was girls watching him. So.
Righto, have you got a joke for us, Tex?
Yesterday I met the lady who was an Outback fencing contractor.
Right.
Her name was Barb Dwyer.
Lucky playing good footy, Tex. Keep up the good work. Head down to Tassie and knock off the Hawks.
Good on you, boys.
Thanks, Tex.
There he is. Tex Walker here on Triple M joins us exclusively thanks to Distinctive Homes. For an affordable home with striking features, it's got to be distinctive. Bro, last night, I found this very unusual. I don't know if it's just me, but I was watching the news and the Queen just got in her car and took off for a drive. Now,
well,
I don't know if that...
She got a husband to drive her anymore.
No, I know that. It's a bit soon. But it just made me think. It's the day after the funeral. This is what's unusual about it. First of all, I didn't realise the Queen could just get in her car and take off and drive. Surely
you always have a chauffeur.
Or you would
sit in the back.
So, yes, but also some sort of security detail around her, wouldn't you think?
Oh, yes. But, well, I don't know. I don't watch the Queen drive around much, but...
Well, you don't expect to bump into her driving. I pull up at the lights. Oh, there's the Queen next to me. You don't expect that.
Not
do
in
you?
Adelaide.
But no. I sat there thinking, where would she be going?
You always see him in a... sort of a procession of Range Rovers.
That's right. And as you pointed out, with a chauffeur, surely, with a cap on and all those sorts of things.
Especially at the moment when she's probably a little bit down and a bit frail and, you know, a bit...
Mourning. So I sat there.
So she was driving by herself.
I had the two corgis in the car. Took the dogs for a drive. And it made me think, is she popping down to Coles or I don't know, is she going to get her hair done or is she getting her nails done? Is she going for a wax? I don't know. What would she, where could the Queen possibly be driving to?
I reckon she'd be off the races.
Yeah, she likes a flutter. Horses, doesn't she? She does like a flutter.
She might have been going to the races.
Didn't know the Queen would just get in her car and head off out the gates and say, I'll be back soon. See ya. Where could she, I want some creativity here, please. Where would the Queen be driving to?
I reckon she was going for a punt. I reckon she was trying to let off the tab. I reckon she was trying to let off a little bit of steam. I mean, that's a great pastime.
She listens to Triple M Friday mornings.
She's got no one to tell her now that, you know, you can't spend too much. You're not allowed to go to the tab.
Yeah. So God, he was a handbrake. He's gone now.
Gee whiz.
I'll have $5 on the nag in the next.
Yeah, I reckon she's off the horses, Diz.
All right. For our best caller, 133353, where would the Queen possibly be driving to on her own with her two corgis? Give us a ring, 133353. We have got an Adelaide Zoo family pass. Yeah, where was the Queen off to? She took off driving out of Windsor Castle yesterday, got in the car, put the two dogs in the back and just took off.
Yeah.
Where could she possibly be going for a drive?
Well, I reckon she was going to the races, but let's go to Richmond. Nick, where do you think the Queen was going?
How you going, boys? Good, I Nick. Reckon she drove to her backyard.
She drove to her backyard.
It's a fair backyard, actually, Nick.
She won't be seen in public on her own, that's for sure.
She was going to water the veggies. She
could drive for probably an hour and a half and still be in her backyard, couldn't she? Yeah.
Let's go to Christie's Beach. Sam, where was the Queen going?
She was going to see Prince Philip, was she? Have a little chat.
Might have been going to pay some respects.
Go visit the graveyard, you reckon?
Yeah,
I think that's probably the hot favourite.
Probably,
Sam,
what she was doing.
Yeah, I think that's probably what I'd be doing. Let's go to Mount Compass. Paul, what was the Queen doing?
I reckon she'll be doing what I'm doing on Friday, mate. She'll be going to the Rubbity for a couple of drinks, and if she has too many, she's always got security to come and rescue her.
There you go.
No Uber for the Queen.
Yeah, drown some sorrows, yeah. Pay the respects.
Yeah, she could be doing that, Paul.
Good on you, Paul. Let's go to Kapunda. Brett, where was the Queen going?
I reckon she was going down to pokies to put her pension money on there, mate.
Finally, she was allowed to get out and go and play the pokies.
Yeah, she does love a punt, the Queen.
Yeah. All right. I quite like that, actually.
Well, you pick the...
All right, Brett, we've got a family pass for you to go to the zoo.
I was sitting around our table having tea last night, all seven of us, because one of them had a sleepover in school holidays, but we're all sitting around watching the news as we're having tea, and... saw this.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
The rodents can be seen scaling the walls of the Glenelg restaurant, sending customers into a spin.
Getting the exterminators in, I think.
Yeah, that was a bit worrying to see that going on in a restaurant, somewhere that serves food.
Mice and rats running through a restaurant that I believe is a good restaurant.
Yep.
Apparently, lots of people like it, and Alice the Wag frequents it down there. With the mice and the rats, so not what you really want when you're sitting down for a romantic dinner for two with the candle out and the sort of a rat running over your feet. So it sounds like there's a bit of an issue down there. They said there's a building next door that's been vacant for a long time. There's some building going on down there, so probably upsetting the area, and you know, rodents getting on the move. But you can't be having that in a restaurant.
I felt sorry for them though, because It is a nice place, and Rue, I would think that, yeah, like you've just said, the surrounding buildings, there must be, it's not a plague, but there seems to be a lot of them from the pictures you saw. They're running around, and we had a report, didn't we, this morning, that maybe another venue down the road had them as well. So
before I saw this on TV, mate of mine said he was sitting in another venue down that way, a very good one, and there was mice running around in there. But that was... How far away is that? That's a K or so.
K away, yeah.
That's a long run for a little mouse. you know, is there another building down there, or what's going on down at Glenelg?
They populate pretty quickly, don't they?
Here's one of the rats talking anyway.
I like good food, okay? And good food is hard for a rat to find.
That's right.
It wouldn't be
not so hard down at Glenelg by the sounds of it.
That's down Jetty Road.
That's a little rat out of Ratatouille, is it?
Yeah, Ratatouille.
The 133353, what have you seen at a restaurant? What's the weirdest thing you've seen in a restaurant? Let's go to Plimpton Park. G'day, Anthony.
Good morning, Roo. How are you?
What's the funniest thing you've seen at a restaurant?
My wife and I were in, we went on an overseas trip a few years ago. We went to Marrakesh, and as you do, you know, you want to go to a couple of nice restaurants when you're away. We saw we saw cats running around in the restaurant.
Oh, no. What, just eating the crumbs or something?
I don't know what they were doing, but there was cats in the restaurant, and I thought it was gross, and then it must be a common theme over there, because then we went to another restaurant, and there was cats running around in that restaurant too.
Well, it's quite common to have dogs everywhere these days, isn't it?
Yeah, as a family pet, though. You sit them at your feet and
but in pubs,
hopefully they don't move.
They let you go in the coffee shop.
Not running around, though.
No, not like on the loose.
Like what, scavengers.
Remember that last year or something, Mel? Have you got that kookaburra that got in a bit of trouble up in Queensland?
Lots of trouble.
The horrific death of beloved kookaburra Kevin enraged locals in Parkerville. The shockwaves going all the way to state parliament.
And it is just an appalling piece of behaviour.
The feathered favourite decapitated in front of horrified onlookers, including children, at the picturesque Parkerville Hotel.
They had a kookaburra that used to fly in and just, have a little nip of a chip or something every now and then, and a bit of banter for the kids, bit of fun. There's a kookaburra. We love kookaburras. Some idiot grabbed it and ripped its bloody head off.
It's unbelievable.
Everyone.
That's unbelievable.
What sort of imbecile would do that?
No, not good. You can't do that.
You can't do that to Kevin.
Not Kevin.
No. Even though he probably hated his name. I mean, there's no reason to decapitate the bloody kookaburra.
Let him decide what he does.
Well, I know that. We're after the funniest or weirdest things you've seen at a restaurant after the mice or rats have been running around Beach Burrito down at Glenelg. We don't need that. Let's go to Seton. G'day, Joe.
Morning, people. How are you?
Very good. What's the funniest thing you've seen at a restaurant?
Well, I don't know if you call it funny, but I used to deliver frozen and fridged goods to restaurants and places in the hills. And I used to go in through the back doors, and I walked in one place, and there was a cat running across where they prepare the food, and there was a dog chasing it.
Oh, no.
So who was chasing it?
A dog.
What?
Yeah, man.
So you weren't the only thing coming through the back door.
What sort of back door, mate?
God.
All right, thanks, Joe. Let's go to Trinity Gardens, Roo.
Let's go and speak with Gail. How are you, Gail?
Good, thank you.
What's the weirdest thing you've seen in a restaurant?
Yeah, so 2016 in Bordeaux, and over there, dogs are allowed everywhere.
Yeah.
And a couple of a young same-sex couple with their two kitty puppies. And the waiter's serving them, and one of the kitty puppies decides to have a piddle on the waiter's leg.
Oh, no.
And this waiter was so professional. He was just didn't bat an eyelid. It was hilarious.
But, Gail, you're right. Over there, dogs in restaurants in France, it's just absolute normal. They sit up at the table, Roo. They sit on a chair, and they'll even eat off the plate. Mm.
What?
In France, they do.
Eat off the plate?
They're treated like humans, yeah. Yep, for sure. Definitely.
Wow. Okay. What, do they order off the menu as well?
No, they don't, no.
Well, you bring your own.
I don't know. Just you left if you don't finish your meal, let the dog finish this. Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting, isn't it? Who are you going to give the prize to, Ditz? Who do you think?
Let's go with Gail from Trinity Gardens.
Nice. Ditz, tell us about the new movie getting filmed.
Yeah, so big announcement yesterday in New South Wales. Their premier very excited about this.
Who wouldn't be pleased to be in my spot today? It's the largest film ever to be filmed here.
I'd grown up watching the films like most Australians. To be a part of it is a huge honour.
Gladys Berejiklian and Chris Hemsworth there. So it's to be filmed just outside of Broken Hill, which is kind of our backyard too, isn't it? It's New South Wales, but
sort of
we
South
claim
Australia.
Broken Hill. It's Tex Walker country.
It is.
And I was telling you earlier,
there, Gladys, wasn't she?
Yeah, she did get excited.
She was a little bit red in the cheeks.
Yeah. They're saying it's worth $350 million to the economy.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky enough to go out there. It's a place called Silverton, which I think is about a 20-minute drive out of Broken Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the best outback pubs you'll ever go to.
What's good about it?
Oh, it's just this the, I don't know, the character. It's fantastic. It's brilliant. But there was a massive film set built. They built this studio on location out in the red dust.
Is this the first Mad Max? It wasn't the original, wasn't it?
I don't reckon it was. I think it might have been Thunderdome, but I'm not good at Mad Max movies. No, I don't know. But have you seen them all?
Yeah, I've seen the early ones. The early ones were fantastic.
Well, how's this for a tree change, right? I went out there with a film crew years ago when I was at Channel 7, and we went out. There's a museum at Silverton, of all Mad Max memorabilia.
Yep.
And there's this bloke from England, this Pommy bloke, and he's seen Mad Max for the first time. And then looks at his wife and says, right, we're packing up and we're shifting to Australia.
From where?
Somewhere in the middle of the UK. Had never been to Australia. And he came out and shifted out to the red dirt out at Silverton, out in the middle of nowhere. And anyway, he's bought the cars. He's bought everything out of the movies.
Yeah.
The memorabilia is outstanding. He's got all the costumes and
the car,
everything you can see. And he watches. Yeah, he's got the cars. But he watches these movies back to back on loop. He just keeps watching them over and over, and he never gets sick of it.
Oh, no.
And he's obsessed with it.
His wife does.
Oh, well, and she has stood by him. She just said, "Well, if this is what he wants to do, this is his hobby." And they did. They packed up and shifted out.
Kidding.
And if you go out there, he's just sitting there watching these movies on loop back to back. And you pay to go into his museum.
He'd be wanting to be an extra in the new movie.
So he's a bit different.
Wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Don't you reckon?
And that's where they're going to film this one out there as well.
Yeah,
so,
parts of it.
Yeah, so very exciting for... And as you know, we announced here yesterday about Mortal Kombat. They had the premiere in South Australia. So our film industry doing big things.
It sure is.
Triple M. Get out your Zimmer frames, chuck on a cardi, comb your hair over and crank up the tranny.
The grumpy guy story's starting to come into focus a little bit here.
On Ruined Dits, it's time for grumpy old men.
Righto, let's get them on, Roo, after a couple of weeks off.
Yeah, exactly. They've had a couple of weeks off. They might even be happy today. Got the grumpy old men, Pratty the farmer, Reedy the footy operations manager from the Crows, and Franz who owns pubs and barracks for Port Adelaide. G'day, men.
Yeah, boys.
All right, a couple of questions for you here. Should we show more respect for our Prime Minister? He had a bad weekend. He got booed at the footy in Perth, and then he was up in Clare at the Rose Garden Festival, and a bloke called Costa walked past and just gave him the bird.
Yeah.
Stuck his finger right up in front of his face. Mm. Franz, where do you stand on this?
Oh, look, I think no matter what side of politics, I think the Prime Minister should always be afforded the respect that the position holds, and it's disappointing. Whether you're Labor, Liberal, Greens, or whatever, that you just haven't got enough class to just show a little bit of respect for the title.
Well put.
Yeah, we're talking about the coronavirus now, the vaccine, the AstraZeneca vaccine, which apparently has just increased the chances of you getting blood clots if you take it. Now, you boys, have you had your jabs, and are you worried about the chance of getting a blood clot?
No.
Reedy, are you worried about it?
No, I might have had mine, and I'll go back for the second dose in a couple of months. And, I mean, the people flying to New Zealand today are going to increase their chances of blood clots far more than what that injection does.
Just by going on the plane?
Just by going on the plane. And, I mean, if you actually read and look at it, the facts are very clear. It does have a slight increase. But, you know, the media just don't portray that. They only put one side of the story, and I think they're quite negligent the way they handle it.
Reedy, can I ask you, how did you get yours done and where did you go? Do you just go to your GP? How does it work?
Well, my GP sent me a note that they were having it, did a booking, went in, and seriously, I didn't even know I'd had it. I said,
yeah,
when
right.
did you do it? She said, oh, we've done it.
Yeah, right.
And they were very thorough, really spot on.
Pratty, what about you? You worried?
No, I'll have mine as well, but there is a highly dangerous virus out there you need to be aware of. It's called the weekly overload recreational killer, WORK, and it's currently going around. If you come in contact with this work virus, you should head to the Bath or the Alma and get some biological anxiety relief at the VAR to take antidotes known as work isolating neutralizer extract, WINE wine, or bothersome employer elimination rebooter, BWER. I'm heading to the bar right now.
Your chances of getting a blood clot are 1 in 350,000. And I read the women who take the pill is about 1 in 10,000 or 1 yeah. in 20,000. Yeah. The numbers aren't that frightening compared to that. Boys, what is irking you at the moment? There should be loads after a couple of weeks off. Reedy?
Well, one that irks me is airfares. Now, when we got all the cheapies going, and we got the government special ones. Now, a few mates of mine went for the government special ones. But when you try and get a return flight home, the prices are up more than they've ever been.
Really?
And you end up, it costs you just the same.
Franz, what's irking you?
Hang on, someone's on hold.
He's got a blood clot. He's gone. Pratty, what's irking you?
what irks me is when Franz drops off the line.
Praddy, what's irking you?
Look, it follows on from ScoMo, and this time the attention is to his delightful wife, that a left-wing B-grade actress, Magda Sobanski, would dare criticise a Prime Minister's wife, Jenny Morrison, for observing her husband sign a condolence book for Phil the Greek, and I'm a Republican.
Mm. Yep, good point. Fair enough. Was a bit rude.
What's
she
your thought of the day, Praddy?
Well, it follows on, you know, the last few weeks, how we've been trashed with cartoons or the Carlton theme song. Here's my thought. Why don't the 99% of us who aren't offended by everything quit and stop being influenced by the 1% who are?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah,
good call.
Totally agree.
Yeah. All right. Good on you, boys. We'll talk again next week.
See you, Grumpies.
The Grumpy Old Men here on Triple M. Now, Roo, I've been told many, many times at this radio station, just stick to the job, will you? Keep your mind on the job, because I do kind of go in and tell the bosses what to do from time to time.
That's all right.
Especially the music. I have been accused of sort of butting in a bit. If I hear songs and I think, I don't like that song, I don't want that played on the show anymore.
It's not your turn.
And the boss says, do you know how much money we spend on research? Do you know how far and wide we've, you know, cast the net to find out what our listeners and our Triple M members love?
Mm.
So I'd still get it's called, just sit in your corner.
It's not Dits FM.
It's not Dits FM, no. Now, so my question to you and Mel this morning is, do lyrics make a good song, or is it the tune? Is it the harmony? What is it? What is it for you?
Personally, can be one or the other, or it could be both.
Could like, be a combination.
It can be. It doesn't have to be. Right. And quite often there's a lot of songs that just mean nothing.
Now, Mel, you know your music. You're my go-to for music. You are an absolute expert. What does it for you with a song?
I think a lot of people, including me, sing the wrong lyrics all the time anyway. Mm. So I don't think lyrics are everything. It's got to be, you know, good beat.
Catchy
song.
Right.
It's the melody. Yeah, the song's most important,
I'm here to prove that theory now. Because for the Offspring fans, I'm about to upset you. I'm just going to give you a pre-warning, all right?
Offspring.
To the two of them in Adelaide, the Offspring.
Oh, cut it out.
Well, listen, there's a bit of a background story to this. Now, they've got a new song that we're playing here on Triple M, and the music director is going to hate me for this. Could cost me my job, but I've got to be honest. So they haven't released a single for 10 years. Now, Mel, in your knowledge in this game, do you reckon do record companies go to big acts like that and say, hey, it's been 10 years, buddy. You better release something quickly or we're going to, you know, cut you.
I'm sure they'd given them the hurry up a few times in that decade. But Dexter was busy. He was getting a doctorate or something.
I reckon they wrote this in a real hurry.
Yeah? Bit of a rush?
Have a listen to this is in your first song in 10 years.
Mm.
Oh, baby, let the bad times roll. Oh, baby, let the bad times roll. Are you serious? Is that the best you can come up with? Oh, baby, let the bad times roll. Now, Offspring, come on. Have a good look in the mirror. You can do better than that, surely.
And a few uh-ohs in there as well.
And a few uh-ohs just to fill the gaps. Yeah. I was thinking about this in bed last night. I thought, yeah, am I being unfair, though? Because Sam Morrison, our audio man, said, oh, but it's a catchy tune. So is it the tune? Is it the lyrics? And it got me thinking back in time, Roo. When I was a lad going to the discos, because we didn't call them nightclubs in my day.
It
was called. I was going to the local disco. Mm-hmm. This song was a number one hit in 30 countries, would you believe, including here. It sold 13 million copies. And these are that was it.
Didn't think about that too much, did he?
No.
Who is that?
It's a German group called Trio. Maybe they struggled with English, I don't know.
Didn't that become a Sakartar added to the crackers?
You're right, Sakartar. And the greatest of all time. Now, even if the Beatles can do this, anyone can do it. This was number one in 1969. It won an award, this song. Oh, blah-dee, oh, blah-da. Not the most complicated lyrics. Not exactly Shakespearean. It's catchy. If you go, your mum and dad would have danced to this song back when they were young. Itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini.
Yeah, there would have been a hot young lady wearing it.
Yeah, so they got away with that. But who thinks of these things? Now, can I just tell you though, they were sport for
musicians.
Choice. Because the B side of that little single was called "Don't Dilly Dally Sally." So they went with Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny. They had bad form.
I think you're answering your own question here.
Now, The Police, right now, Sting. This song starts out with "Don't think me too unkind, but words are hard to find." They sure are, Sting. When you come up with da-do-do-do-da-da-da, that is garbage.
Catchy.
That's garbage, right? Catchy. Yeah, catchy, but garbage. Nina, this song was number one in Australia and the US. wrote a song about 99 red balloons.
I think you've proved your point here.
Sorry, am I boring you now?
No, you're not boring
Shall
me.
Shall I keep going?
I think you've proved your point, though.
One of my favourite butchers of the English language and songs has to be Bon Jovi. I wake up and French kiss the morning. Weird blooper. French kiss the morning. I wake up and French... Mate, that's gushy, mushy bulldust, that is. All right. And your favourite. This went number one in 15 countries, this song.
It's a not so bad. It's a nicer place. Ah, shut up with your face.
Genius. Number one in 15 countries. And my final favourite, the greatest lyric written of all time. Let's hear it from Kiss. I want to put my log in your fireplace.
Oh, no. I don't think he's talking about...
Is that the winner or the loser?
He's not talking about wooden logs there, though.
Very good, Roo. Don't need to explain the gags around
here. Yeah, it's a metaphor.
Yeah, it is a metaphor. Thank you, Mel.
Oh, that's good.
I think, have we proved our point?
I think you have.
So isn't that some
it's
of
the tune.
But surely some of the best songs have actually got good lyrics as well, haven't they?
Well.
Maybe you can get back to us on that.
As I said, some of the stats on those songs are frightening.
What about your, you know, because you want Dits FM and you want to give the music producer all this feedback.
Give him a hand, yeah.
You want to give him a hand.
Yeah.
Why don't you come back to us with, you know, the songs that you would have on Dits FM and you know, what you think's
can
important.
Can I play for
don't
three
worry
hours?
About what's happening out there on Triple M or any other radio. Right. Tell us, you know, what's important to you.
All right, I'll do that. I'll come back to you. All right.
I'm just saying it's big news, isn't it?
Well, I don't know.
You might win.
Excellent.
Or you might lose.
Bam.
Keep up with the times and play Roo's News.
Realised that Sam wrote a little rhyming opener there, didn't he? Might win, we might lose. Keep up with Roo's News.
That's that right. And if you win today, you get a Monado Zoo family pass, which is absolutely brilliant. And we've got two contestants on the line. Natalie from Woodcroft. G'day, Natalie.
Hi, how you going?
Good. How are you today? You're really good?
Very well. Amazing. Thank
Check
you.
Your buzzer.
Amazing.
Check
Natalie.
Your... Oh, yeah, good. A bit slow.
What do you
tighten
do?
That up a little
what
bit.
What do you do, Natalie?
I work in the car industry.
Do you?
As a delivery coordinator.
Oh, you'd be busy at the moment.
What does that mean, delivery coordinator?
So I get, when someone purchases a car, I get it all ready for them and make sure it's got all its accessories and keep them up to date with where they ordered that and all of that sort of stuff.
Yep, good stuff. All right, good on you, Natalie. Who else you got, Roo?
I've got Tony from Adelaide. G'day, Tone.
G'day, Roo. How are you, mate?
Very, very good. Thanks, Tone. Just check your buzzer for me, please.
Tony.
Good.
Nice.
What do you do, Tony?
I'm a store person.
A store person.
Store.
Good on you, mate. Well done.
Good on you, mate. Righto, Dits. Just check your buzzer.
Dits.
And just remember, you're a contestant here, okay?
Just try.
Play your role over there, please. All right. Question number one. First to three here, guys, if you want to win your Monado Zoo family pass. Listen to this audio and tell me who is the star of the new Mad Max movie.
Who wouldn't be pleased to be in my spot today?
Tony.
Ooh. Who is it, Tony?
Hemsworth.
Yeah, well done. Is there a couple of Hemsworths?
Yeah, Liam.
Well, this is Chris.
This is Chris.
Geez, wasn't the New South Wales Premier excited at the announcement?
She was a bit gushy there, wasn't she?
Like a schoolgirl.
Mm-hmm. Righto, question number two. Have a listen.
It's been handed down saying that you called an employee a $2... Did you do that?
Oh, that was ages ago, mate.
So you did do that?
Tony. Way behind the time.
Tony.
Oh, Tony again.
The Tea Tree Gully Mayor.
No, that is not correct.
Oh,
wow. Just listen to the whole thing again, please, if we could there, Mel and Natalie.
What's been handed down saying that you called an employee a $2... Did you do that?
Oh, that was ages ago, mate.
So you did do that?
Way behind the time.
Tea Tree Gully Nightmare.
No.
Oh,
all right, I'll give you the question here, Natalie. You've got the floor to yourself. Kevin Knight, the councillor, called another councillor a $2 what?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know? Okay.
Wow.
There's a $2 tramp, unfortunately. He's in a bit of trouble, Mr. Knight. 31 breaches. All right, so 1-0, Tony. Question number three. What was seen running through the beach burrito restaurant in Glenelg?
Tony.
Tony.
A mouse.
A mouse, yes.
Speedy Gonzales it was.
Speedy Gonzales.
Yeah, it was.
Wasn't Kane Collins, was it?
It wasn't Kane, no.
It wasn't.
He was tagging it.
All right.
As it ran past.
All right. Good stuff. Okay. Question number four. Collingwood's Jeremy Howe and Jordan Dugowie are in trouble with the AFL for doing what?
Dits.
What?
Tanking.
They are 1-4. Yes. So Collingwood's Jeremy Howe and Jordan Dugowie are in trouble with the AFL for doing what?
Tony.
Tony, for the win.
I'll have a go. Getting on the grog.
that's pretty fair guess for a footballer to get in trouble.
Natalie, do you want to have a guess?
Again, not a Collingwood fan. Pros all the way here, sorry.
That's all right. They're on their phones in the change rooms, these two, and during the game, which
we just do a score check. Score check here.
One zip.
Natalie nil. Tony one. Dits nil.
Yep. So, Tony, you're still a chance here, Natalie. All right.
Didn't I have two?
He's two.
Oh, sorry.
Is he two?
Hang on. Yeah. We'll check the scores. We'll go to the official score. Natalie nil. Tony two. Sorry, mate.
Okay. Here we go. Question number five. Which sports stadium in Australia will receive a $1 billion upgrade?
Natalie,
you beauty.
Is it the MCG?
Oh, it's not.
Dits.
Is it
Albert and Oval?
No. If Mr. Weatherall was still in, you'd probably get it.
Tony, are you going to have a stab at this one?
I'll go Adelaide.
It's just at an upgrade. The Gabba is going to get $1 billion spent on it in preparation for the Olympics in 2032. All right, question number six. Which Sesame Street character...
Tony.
Yes, Tony.
Big Bird.
Well done, Tony.
Three zip for you, Tony.
He's well and truly plucked.
He's been plucked. Right. Yes, he has. Yeah, but you've got feathers a family pass everywhere to go to the Monado Zoo. Congratulations. Ooh. Three zip, Tony. Natalie, got to lift your game.
I know.
Oh, well, thanks for calling.
You bloody guilty.
He's rubbing salt in the wounds. Gee. Thanks, Natalie. Thanks for having a crack.
All right. Good on you, Tony. You are off to Monado Zoo. Over the last few years, Roo, a lot of talk about not only electric cars, but driverless cars. Will they work? Are there any pitfalls? And, you know, a lot of us probably... No, I don't know if skeptical is the right word, but we're a bit miffed.
I'm definitely skeptical.
Well, there's been a bad prang with one over in the United States.
Well, and a couple of people died, so we thought we'd get an expert on, Trevor Long from EFTM.com. Everything for the man. Trev, is this a worry?
It is a worry, but let me be clear. We don't know what happened in this crash. All we know is it was a Tesla, and we know that because it was a massive fire. And when batteries burst, they are problematic for fireys. A petrol car crashes, it's just as bad, but it's just not as intense. The weird thing here is the police here in Houston, Texas, say there was no one in the driver's seat. The two men that died were in the passenger seat and in the back seat, which makes us all think that it's a Tesla self-driving car. But in fact, according to Tesla's boss, Elon Musk, it was in fact not part of their full self-driving set of cars. And it didn't have what they call autopilot engaged because of the style of road that it was on. But mate, the very fact that they've got a thing called autopilot, the very fact that they've got a thing called full self-drive means that people are going to be idiots and either pretend or think or assume that their cars do it. And that may have played a factor here. And I think that's tragic.
What does this mean for Tesla, do you think? How damaging could this be?
Look, they need to come out real quick with clear proof that this accident had nothing to do with their car. It's going to be very hard to prove given the car was incinerated for an hour. Like, it was a long burn because lithium ion batteries don't go out easily. And they also need, I think, to take some responsibility and say, look, we're going to pull back on our messaging around self-driving cars. We're going to slow down on the amount of talk we have about, you know, autonomy, because it's great. Every car company is working on self-driving, but they're not promoting it now. I genuinely think, and I'm going to contact the ACCC today, Rod Sims, I think Australia should call for Tesla to stop calling it autopilot, and they should not be able to call it full self-driving. It's when you buy a Tesla on their website, it says full self-driving computer, which makes you think that you're going to get this feature. It's not regulated. It's not proven. We should wait for it to happen.
So what can you actually do in terms of not driving in a car like that at the moment? Does it just, can it steer itself and everything, but you still have to be behind the wheel? What is it at the moment?
Yeah. So at the moment, Tesla is definitely a couple of steps ahead of most other companies. Nearly all cars that you buy today can guide themselves around the freeway. So they'll take turns and things like that. But you've still got to have your hands on the wheel, and it will beep at you if you don't have your hands on the wheel after 40 to 60 seconds. A Tesla does the same, except that a Tesla can now kind of exit a freeway as well and do some basic navigational driving also. So,
well, all on GPS.
Yes, all on GPS, using cameras in the car and radar and all those kinds of things. It is amazing what they can do, don't get me wrong. But I think it lulls people into a false sense of security, thinking that the car could do more than a human being thinks it can do. And that's where you have issues.
Trev, just finally, I haven't really kept up with this and read up on it. But so on roads in the United States, are there driverless cars right now, are there?
Not without full regulatory approval doing trials. Right. But there are people who own Teslas who signed up to a beta test, as in a software test, with theoretically self-driving cars. And that, I think, is outrageous.
All right. Well, good on you, Trev. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, not a good advert for driverless cars at the moment, Ru.
Tesla shares would be dropping, I would have thought.
Not a good thing.
Hey, what's your password?
20 grand is locked away. It's yours if you can remember the password. 8 letters, 2 digits, 1 symbol for $20,000.
Cha-ching! Cha-ching!
Triple M's forgotten password.
Very exciting, Ru. $20,000. You just heard it. 8 letters, 2 digits, 1 symbol, $20,000. Let's say good morning to Harrison. How are you?
Good, thanks, guys. How's
good.
It going?
Good. Where are you from?
Brooklyn Park.
Brooklyn Park. All right. Yeah. And what do you do?
I'm a graphic designer.
Are you?
Yep. Yeah.
So wow.
Okay. Work full-time for a health-related company. So
health-related?
Yeah. So providing like nurses and medical staff in Australia. So
why would they need a graphic designer? What do you do for them?
Oh, merchandise, hand sanitizer labels, websites, social media. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pretty has been very busy. So
yeah, busy. Yeah. Right. Well, you might be able to have a weekend off soon if you can win $20,000. Yeah,
now, have you been checking out the clues online?
I have. There was a few technical difficulties, but I'm across them now.
You got right. there. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
What are those three clues, by the way?
So Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
Was the first one, I believe. Abs. And I being the third letter.
I is the third letter. All right, you want to have a crack at it now? You've got 5 chances at this over the next 5 days. What's your first guess?
Well, my first guess was originally going to be something without an I in the first word.
Oh, so you've had to change it.
That's good. Well, that's good that the hints worked.
So it doesn't actually have an I in the first word, but I'm going to have to just go with it to put it out there. It was Dark Side 73 dollar sign.
Right.
Dark Side 73 dollar sign.
Why would you go with that one when you know it hasn't got an eye?
Because I couldn't think of anything else.
Password incorrect.
You are kidding me.
Nah. Because I only just find out that I had an eye in it.
We can only help you so much. We can only give you so many clues. Now, I is the third letter, but you went with dark anyway.
Yeah.
Look.
Yeah.
You haven't won the 20 grand.
No, unfortunately.
So
when you're working as a graphic designer and they say do this or do that, do you do the total opposite?
Yeah. That's good.
Now, you've got 4 attempts to go, all right, because you were wrong today. So 4 attempts to go. Your next one's at 8 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, now the rest of Adelaide, register at triplem.com.au and keep listening in case you are the next called up once Harrison's had his goes and he's locked out. And we'll release another clue on the Listener app today.
All right, just search Ruined It's on the Listener app. Now, another announcement as well, Ru. Triple M listeners, if you think you know what the password is, during the workday, you'll have a chance to call with your guess.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, if Harrison actually uses one of your guesses, if he uses your guess, all right, and he uses it as the full password and he's correct, you will actually get half of the money. You'll get 10 grand. If that's Harrison right. hears that clue and thinks, I reckon that's
it. Yeah, I
like
that, yep.
And he uses it one of the mornings this week, you'll split the money with him, okay?
Good idea. So 10 grand up for grabs, so get it involved, Triple M listeners, during the workday. This is Triple M's forgotten password. 8 letters, 2 digits, 1 symbol for $20,000. the Big Bird theft has made headlines all across South Australia. Have you seen Big Bird? There's talk on our Automasters text line that it is for sale on Marketplace for $250. They're saying it's worth $160,000. I don't know why they've knocked it off, but they did cut the chains. It was organised.
What are they worth secondhand, though?
Eh?
What are they worth secondhand?
Well, whatever anyone's prepared to pay. $250 going on. I just don't know what they would have stolen it for.
No.
There's nothing you can use it for, can you? Like we said earlier, you can't rob a bank. You can't go and fill up with petrol and do a runner. I'm not sure what you're going to do with it.
So, can't wear it to your next fancy dress party.
Yeah, so...
Because we know it's stolen.
Some dumb criminals are out there, and it just got us wanting to relive some of the gold that we've had in the past on our show. Remember the car that was getting around Adelaide briefly with a number plate written in black texter, permanent texter?
Mm.
Not stolen.
A 26-year-old unlicensed driver's in the running for a dumbest crook award after his doctored number plate caught the attention of police at Elizabeth Vale. Despite a scrawled message, not stolen, okay, officers dug deeper. While the vehicle wasn't stolen, the man was slapped with a raft of other charges, including defacing a plate.
Not the smartest bloke going around. And then we had a couple of blokes who got caught with a bit of paint at a bakery.
We had two bright sparks come over to the Wollonga bakery. They threw a full paint tin through the bakery window, helped themselves to two pies and a drink, went out under the security camera and ate the pies. The second guy came up and hit the pie into the other dude's face, and then they walked back over to the pub with all the paint footprints going to the pub, and they ended up getting busted because there was footprints and they could see him walking in with the footprints with the cameras in the pub.
Marijuana, petrol and cigarettes do not mix. Have a look at, listen to this one.
Oh. Flicked the dart out on the side of the street and then landed on his lap and he's like, oh shit, oh, and then got it all and then landed on where his feet were and then, yeah, pulled in, flames started everywhere.
I tried getting the hose didn't reach and then couldn't do anything else, so we just called the fire department and sat and watched.
Stupid idea, but you can't take
didn't
it back, can
you? I was going to do that was hectic.
Don't mix marijuana, cigarettes and petrol again. So I'm putting the Big Bird thief in this category. I don't think, I just can't come up with a reason. If the thief is out there and wants to give us a call, give us a ring on 133353.
Dez's minibus and Dez's cabs. Let Dez take you to your destination. Nice one, Dez. Call Dez on 133377. DezMinibus.com.au.
On 104.7 Triple M.
I don't even know what we play.
Get ready for the WOTE, the worst of all time.
Starts today, right now, at $100, and each day it goes up by $100 at jackpots, but we're pretty confident this one's going to go off quickly. Gee, that one's easy.
Mel on the saxophone, Ditz on the harmonica, Alice on the guitar, I'm on the bongo drums. Guess that song. You win $100. Give us a call right now. 133353.
Should we have a listen?
Oh, absolutely. We need another listen because this is new. Oh, I reckon it's gettable.
Yeah, it very easy, this one.
It's gettable. Let's go to Sullivan's Beach. G'day, Dylan.
G'day. How are you?
Good, Dylan. What do you think it is?
Day by Day by Powderfinger.
A bit of that. Not right, Dylan. Sorry.
Need to hear it a few more times and we'll have a guest tomorrow for $200.
$200, the jackpot tomorrow, thanks to Dez's minibus and Dez's cabs.
What a goal! Ruined its overnight sports.
Plenty of footy news around Roo. Mitch Georgiadis is the Round 5 NAB Rising star from Port Adelaide, and rightly so. He played a great game on the weekend, kicked three goals again. This is on the back of Lachie Scholl. So, couple of the
all five Rising Star nominees this year are all interstaters.
Yeah.
You had three from Sydney.
Yeah, so there you go. We talked about Dan Houston yesterday with that shoulder. He's made a remarkable recovery, and they're saying that it's nowhere near as bad as it first thought. Let's hear from assistant coach Nathan Bassett.
Yeah, he got hit hard, and he was pretty sore, but, you know, we think he's a chance to play this week.
And Port need him.
Back to Georgiadis. He could be your best forward really quickly.
Yeah, he's a good player, isn't he?
Couldn't he?
Exciting. I know, and I know like Ken Hinckley very, very excited by him. They love him. Oh, and well, so they should.
Well, he's fast. He jumps. He's got a beautiful goal-kicking action.
He has, yeah. Yeah, no, he's got it all. So, yep, hopefully years and years to come with him down at Alberton.
Your recruiters have done an amazing job.
They have done a great job. Tex Walker, rightly so, nominated for Mark of the Year. It was a fantastic leap against the Dockers on the weekend. Here's defender Tom Duday talking about how they manage Tex moving forward.
For someone like Tex, where he's at in his career, it might be management during the week and let him play, or it might be management with games. Considering the form he's in, he's been pretty crucial for us, so we wouldn't want to miss him too many games.
And we've got Tex coming up just after 8 o'clock for Crows fans.
Yep, Lachie Murphy, goal of the year contender as well after kicking one on the weekend. What about the fiasco at Collingwood, Roo? Two players come into the change rooms and get their mobile phones out. What do you think about this?
Look, I think it's wrong that it happened. I think it's a slap on the wrist job. I think, a player's come off with concussion and a broken nose, and the other one panicked and thought he'd done his knee again, and he's phoned his pregnant wife. The box wasn't locked, so there's a lot of errors.
So just to clarify this, you can't have your phones because of betting, is
that
right?
I think it's like an hour before the game or 40 minutes or something like that. But okay. I'm not even sure what the rules are, but it's just to do with integrity. So they deserve to get fined. Please explain, but I don't think there's too much more to it.
Yeah.
It's an error they didn't need, Collingwood.
Yeah. All right. Sydney, a huge blow for them. Star forward Buddy Franklin could miss about a month. And also Tom Hickey, both with knee injuries.
Well, Tom Hickey, that's how Port got a Lear because they moved heaven and earth to get a ruckman because they didn't have one. Now Hickey's out for at least 3 months with a knee injury, and Buddy's got bone bruising in his knee. So Sydney have gone from a 4-0 start to losing to GWS on the weekend, and now a couple of stars out on top of Isaac Heaney and Dane Rampey.
Mm-hmm.
So four big names.
Yep, they are. Let's head back to the AFLW. Erin Phillips, it turns out, has been playing under some duress for quite a while. She's going in for knee surgery. Let's hear from her and Chelsea Randall, the captain, who missed the grand final, about their futures.
It's not something I can make a decision right now because I'm very emotional.
You missed the opportunity to join at 18. you just want to try and enjoy that for as many years as you possibly can.
Chelsea will keep playing, Ditz. There's no doubt about that. Erin, that's up to her. We've just got to find out how bad that knee is. She still played brilliant footy up until grand final day, so she'll make the decision in her own time.
Roo, soccer fans the world over are outraged. This is a massive story, and you're going to read a lot about this in the weeks to come. A breakaway Super League. Now, the six biggest clubs in the UK have reportedly signed up. We're talking Man United, Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea and Spurs will be
sign up and the top ones?
Not that I know of so far, but they've all agreed. Their fans are absolutely livid. The fans have turned on, rather than support this, the fans have turned on their clubs. They're protesting against it. So they'll join some of the biggest clubs in Europe in a 12-team Super League. So they're going to turn their back on UK soccer, English soccer.
That's been going for what? How many hundred years?
150 years at least. And they'll go and join this Super League.
Are they all own those clubs?
Yes, they are nowadays. Each club will get $5.4 billion to sign on. $5.4 billion.
And how many clubs in there? 12?
12, yeah.
So what's that? 60 odd.
Billion, yeah. Fair payday, but
who's in charge of this league? Look, is it a privately run thing? Is it a Kerry Packer of the world?
There is a gentleman out of Europe, like a Kerry Packer, who's the spokesperson at the moment. Look, I haven't read much more than that, except that those six clubs out of the UK are saying, "Yep, we want to be a part of it," and they'll turn their back on.
What happened to rugby league when this happened? It set it back a bit, didn't it, for a while?
It did here in this country. Yeah, there was a Super League. Yeah.
All right.
It's a big story.